everybody, and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Tuesday. We've got all your action from an absolutely packed Monday night in the NBA. I'm Dave DeFore. It's Tuesday morning. That means I'm here with Trevon Edwards. What's up, Trey?
What's going on, Dave?
Hey, you know what? The NBA gave us an early night tonight. Kind of nice to not be recording this at like 12:30 after midnight. We got Brian Smith producing this program. Guys, don't forget, and you already know the deal, go to theathletic.com/dailyding if you're not a subscriber. $3.99 a month. Go now, theathletic.com/dailyding. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk NBA stocks. Are you buying or selling? But first, Trey, a pretty fun game. The Phoenix Suns beat the Dallas Mavericks on a Devin Booker game-winning three with 1.5 seconds left. Not the way I saw this game ending, Trey, especially because Chris Paul had a wide-open layup so late in this game. I thought Phoenix was going to have a better chance to put this away sooner.
Yeah, normally, I mean, how Chris Paul missed that layup, it almost was like you could call him washed, but he played exceptionally well. He shot 70%. 14 for 20. I think it was just kind of a miscommunication of getting that deep and then obviously looking to pass, and just was a brain fart. But, you know, they got a second possession and was able to come out of the timeout. Monty drew up a beautiful play for Devin Booker to knock down a three and seal the game. But overall, I think that they always get up for each other. It's like this rivalry they got going, and it's fun. And obviously now that Phoenix has two closers, they have a better chance to win these ball games. And Kristaps has been getting a bad slack lately, and I thought he played pretty well down the stretch. And then, you know, obviously Luka has been getting it together as well, but this was definitely a fun one.
Let's talk about Booker, because he's just coming back from an injury. What do you think about him tonight? I thought he looked pretty good, but down the stretch, in winning time, I thought Devin Booker looked excellent.
I mean, it's Devin Booker fashion, though. I mean, just 9 for 19. Doesn't try to force much, lets the game come to him. When his number was called, he was able to knock down a shot, big shot. You know, that's what all-stars do, and he's been doing this for a very long time. And I'm just really happy for his success in that situation. And he's continued to grow, and Monty has these guys just really rolling. So coming off injury, you know, you put emphasis on it, like, yo, we need to watch this game because Book's back. And, you know, it was a reason why to watch this game. It was definitely exciting, and also he didn't look like he missed too much of, you know, basketball. He came in and plug and play.
You mentioned Chris Paul having a really nice game. 34 points, 9 rebounds, 9 assists. A lot of focus is going to be on that missed layup, but as you mentioned, come on, who cares? You know, a little mental mistake there at the end. It does not erase the game that he had. What I really loved about Chris Paul, he was looking to get Porzingis and get him in space, and he took advantage of that all night long.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, it's one of the smartest guys, so you just got to take advantage of it.
Well, Porzingis has not looked great since he's come back on the defensive end. I thought tonight he looked worse for probably the first 2.5 quarters of this game than I've seen him look. Even like he just looked like he didn't have legs. But then down the stretch, you know, he hit a big three. I thought he played pretty well. I mean, overall for the game, and plus minus doesn't really matter all that much. But, you know, wound up being +3 for the game, which I think, you know, with Porzingis is kind of like a small victory at this point. What did you think about him in particular on the defensive end? Because I thought it was interesting how much better he looked when they had him going up and trapping the ball and occasionally guarding on the perimeter versus, you know, when he was inside and kind of struggling a little bit.
Well, it's always funny because he gets slack, but overall he moved pretty well and he shot the ball well in the second half. And again, I know his name's kind of been moving around as far as ending up on a contender, but I think they just need to stick around and just give him some time. He's coming off injury. He's kind of banged up, and eventually they'll figure it out and be the team. I don't think they'll be what most everyone predicted them to be. I think I had them top 4 in the West, and they've underachieved, but for the most part, I think that they'll be all right. They'll figure things out.
You mentioned Porzingis coming back from injury. Tonight, this was the first game since December of 2019. The Dallas Mavericks didn't have someone on the injury report. Maxi Kleber back after missing 9 games with the health and safety protocols. Obviously, Dorian Finney-Smith, Josh Richardson, and Dwight Powell also just returning a few days ago. They were at full strength for the first time all year. And I thought that they looked a lot better. You know, Maxi only played 18 minutes, but he looked okay. He looked like a little bit out of shape, clearly trying to catch his wind. But you can see the framework of what they thought this team was going to be able to be this year. To be able to play five out is what they've been missing. And I think Maxey coming back is going to be huge for them. They might go on a run here, Trey.
Hey, anything is possible in this league. You can get it going. And, I mean, I won't count them out. But I right now, you know, a lot of teams are rolling. And I think that they can get in the pack. But, you know, he's playing catch-up is interesting in the NBA, especially when injuries affect you early on.
Luka, 25, 8 assists, 5 rebounds. I sense a little bit of frustration from Luka throughout the game, in particular at the end. I mean, you know, it's kind of a heartbreaking loss for them. And they've been so rough lately. I mean, they've dropped to 8-13 with this loss. Luka was making the right play all night. It just seems like the Mavs lack the guys that can take advantage of the advantages that are being created by Luka. At some point, though, the balls have got to start falling through the hoop.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the guy's a pro. He's not going to miss forever and just be just cold. But you just got to keep going and keep going, doing what you do best, and eventually it'll go for you. You know, obviously THJ has been playing well too. So they're just trying to find a niche. Again, like this is another team that you had high hopes for, and you just think that they're going to come out and Luka Doncic is going to be a you know, MVP candidate and all those other things. But throughout the league, there's so much talent night in, night out that guys are just proving it, and you just got to have respect for it. And again, like I said, every year isn't guaranteed. So I'm really liking it, what I'm seeing so far in around game 15, game 16.
Josh Richardson was obviously a big addition for Dallas, and you know, he's just missed all this time and never really got a chance to see what this team's look like with any sort of continuity. You know, I liked some of what he brought tonight. I appreciate the fact that Dallas is a guy who can attack off the catch in a way that they haven't had since Luka's been there. And you saw tonight, 24 points, 9 of 16, was able to put pressure on the rim. I mean, theoretically, this should open things up for everyone else to a certain degree. You add another guy who can play make and who can create off the dribble, and it should open things up. Now, it hasn't yet, but Trey, I thought this game tonight, the first one where they're at full strength, you know, we got to see a really nice game from Josh Richardson, and you can see how this is likely to come together down as they build chemistry.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, chemistry, everything is really going to be once, you know, Luka shakes his cold streak. Right now he's shooting just as bad as almost, if not as bad as Kelly Oubre, and I don't think that continues. I think that he's going to get his confidence, and he's going to try to find a way to get to the line and take easier shots to, you know, get his team in the best position to win.
Want to touch on DeAndre Ayton. He had a great game the other night in the first game of this back-to-back series with Phoenix and Dallas. Not an amazing game tonight. He was good on the board, 17 rebounds, only 10 points. Felt like he couldn't really take advantage of Porzingis the way that he did in the game the other night. And I'm not sure what that was, but he looked a little bit tentative. There was a point late in the game with about 2 minutes to go where Ayton catches the ball on the low block and doesn't realize that he's unguarded. And it takes him a minute to realize that. The defense catches up, and it winds up with Porzingis blocking him. But then, you know, Booker winds up hitting a three and kind of bailing him out. But that sort of lack of awareness on the offensive end is odd for me from Ayton. And I'm not sure what was causing it, but he definitely didn't look like his head was totally in the game, especially late. You know, I was a little bit disappointed, I have to say, in Ayton's performance tonight.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't think he's going to be just super consistent like that. It's not a great game. They still managed to get the win. You forget this, and just, you know, you just get amnesia and just go to the next game and try to pick it up. But his teammates carried him, you know, like, especially Chris Paul played exceptionally well, and, you know, hopefully he can find it in the next game.
Well, Trey, Dallas plays Atlanta on Wednesday. I'm positive we're not going to hear any odd opinions between now and then.
One would think, but you never know.
Oh, it's going to get weird. We're going to have a weird 2 days on the internet. In Atlanta, the Lakers beat the Hawks 107-99. Trey, the Lakers healthy again, look pretty good. I think Atlanta stuck with them pretty well in this game. But when it comes down to it, you've got LeBron James, you got Anthony Davis. You're just not going to lose that many games, plain and simple.
Yeah, not at all. I mean, this is a very good team. Atlanta was in it, and you look at it in the situation, this is, you know, they made some young team mistakes. Like, it was costly turnovers at the end where they had a chance to, you know, at least get real close. And then also I really want to applaud Dennis Schroeder's defense towards the close, and Alex Caruso just causing them to make unforced turnovers and things of that nature, and just really wrap that thing up. But those games are teachable moments that I think that Lloyd Pierce is going to be able to go back to the film sessions and say, look, this is what's happening, and this is why these guys are, you know, defending champions, and pretty much why they can win ball games like this. Because although the Lakers are the better team, the Hawks did compete, but those costly turnovers helped the Lakers be, you know, they were battle-tested, didn't have to get out of that, despite the hostile crowd.
I was about to say, Trey, a little bit of an odd incident. A fan courtside kind of gets into it with LeBron. I guess some people are ejected. You know, look, I find myself just at a loss for words when I start thinking about people and how they act, in particular in public, and toward other people. I just do not understand why you would ever want to be nasty with someone you just paid a ton of money to watch play basketball. It makes no sense to me. I am completely fine with good-natured ribbing. Booing is great. Like, I think that that's good for opposing fans to boo LeBron James if he's in town. Like, that's a good thing. But clearly there's a point where you're going over the line, and it seems like these people did, and they got tossed. Trey, why in the hell are people even sitting courtside at NBA games anyway?
Because we're in Wakanda. It's Atlanta. You can do what you want. That's where the All-Star game's going to be. So apparently, you know, the rules change in Georgia, but they're not close enough, obviously, to affect the players, but still, just you know, just viewing it from afar is an interesting situation of where we are in this country and what's important. And obviously, you know, again, I feel guilty even enjoying basketball and watching basketball, but for someone to have the opportunity to go watch a game courtside at that and have some friendly banter and go back and forth, and I think that that particular person just took it too far. I don't think it's a big problem, but obviously, Twitter seems to enjoy it, and you know, obviously, it's associated with other things, but it comes with the game. Like LeBron in the post-game presser said that he didn't mind it. You know what I mean? The husband said something to him, he said something back, and they were being two grown men exchanging things, and then obviously, the wife got into it, and you know, but he didn't want them to get tossed. You know what I mean? Like, if anything, that kind of like if the Lakers was trailing, and you know, they come back and win that game, you got to credit the fan that's hyping you up. That's the feel that the players want. Again, nothing crazy. You're not looking at it in that situation. It's just that it's kind of like, yo, y'all not paid to watch the game to do this. Like, so you need to fix this. Like, y'all saying some inappropriate stuff, and the refs heard it, and security heard it, and, you know, they chose to have those fans leave.
Well, I think NBA players, for the most part, do a very good job of, you know, being tolerant of some of the absolute insane shit that people say to him on a nightly basis. And so, you know, look, LeBron has most likely had worse things said to him than whatever was said during this game. But if it's bad enough for LeBron to, you know, to elicit a response that is as negative as the response seemed to be, it had to have been pretty bad. So, you know, toss him, don't let him back in. Who cares? You know, got your money, go home. The Hornets are pretty good, I think, Trey. They're not pretty good as in like championship competition, but they are definitely a better team than they have been, and they beat the Miami Heat 129-121 because Malik Monk just went absolutely nuts in this game in a way that we just don't expect from Malik Monk. Let's be honest. 9 of 13 from three, 36 points. LaMelo Ball started this game for Terry Rozier because he's out with a sprained ankle. He had 14, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. They pick up a pretty good win. Trey, how are you feeling about Charlotte? They seem like a team that I don't think that they're necessarily a playoff team, but they might be a play-in team.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely – I can see them being a play-in team. They're fun to watch. I definitely thought that they're kind of close to making the playoffs, but like now it seems like they're getting it together and, you know, they might make a run. So I'm interested to see, you know, what can happen. Obviously, LaMelo Ball got his first start, and that was a big deal, but I, you know, who knows? Like I said, anything can happen in this league.
The Cleveland Cavaliers continue to win. Another victory for them. They beat the Minnesota Timberwolves 100-98. They didn't have Andre Drummond in this game. And Trey, I think that we all saw the Jared Allen trade for Cleveland, and we see that that's a guy that fits so well with their young core. I mean, he obviously from an age standpoint and all these other things, but he was fantastic in this game. Really has some good chemistry already with those young guards. Hit 23 points, 18 rebounds, and 5 blocks. What kind of contract is Jared Allen looking at?
Oh, the big Alfredo is going to get cashed out, and he's getting better and better each game. He had a nasty dunk. He's playing well. He's likable.
Did you call him the big Alfredo? I swear I've never heard that before.
When he was with Brooklyn, he had a good game. But before, we asked him what fueled him, and he said, you know, he switched it up and had Alfredo sauce on his pasta. That's why I called him the big Alfredo. But overall, you know, like he was a steal, man. And like I said, he's so missed in Brooklyn. That's why the defense is how it is. And I mean, you make that type of trade, especially for a guy like James Harden, that's who you have to part with. And, you know, it's showing, but hey, both parties are happy and both teams are doing what they can do. But yeah, man, with Drummond, as far as his situation, I don't see him being on that roster after the trade deadline. Maybe before.
The Bucks beat the snot out of the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, this is a big win, obviously, just in general. But the Bucks, they didn't have a great performance against the Pelicans the other night, and their defense has just been struggling, and it did not in this one. They had a 102.5 defensive rating in this game. What is the real Bucks? Like, are the real Bucks playing better defense than what they have so far? And if so, why aren't they giving us the same defense that they were giving us last year? Like, is it just that teams are getting lucky with the three-pointer, or are there bigger issues here?
I don't even know how to even answer the term of the real Bucks. I think the Bucks are the Bucks. Like, they're a good enough basketball team to make it to the postseason. But from there, they have some challenges, and they still have many things to do to get better. Obviously, Chris Middleton's playing really well. Giannis is doing what Giannis is doing, and, you know, Drew Holiday definitely should be, you know, first-team defense this year. But when you, like, factor everything in and the rotation and guys like that, they're not really – I don't think they're playing game to game to be the best team in the league anymore. I think that they're just trying to get better every day, and that's the focus. So, overall, I don't see them winning 50-something games or being the best – having the best record. It's going to be more so teachable moments, and how can they apply that in their matchups in the playoffs?
You and I have been talking a lot the last few days about stocks. I don't know why. You know, they're just all over the news. You know, we were trying to come up with angles for the show tonight, and you came up with the great idea of taking stock of some of the teams in the league. And Trey, these are teams that I'm curious about your take on. Are you buying or selling these NBA stocks? Are you ready?
Let's go.
All right. We're going to start with the team that won tonight that we talked about the first game, Phoenix. The Phoenix Suns. Are you buying stock in Phoenix? Are you holding the stock that you've already got? Or are you trying to sell it because maybe you've seen some sort of wrinkles in their fabric of their team?
So I don't have to buy any of this stock. I was already holding since the beginning. So, yeah, I'm going to hold this stock, and we're going to be all right. So, yeah, I'm holding this one.
Yeah, I'm with you. I've got concerns once they get to the playoffs. Obviously, I think DeAndre Ayton, while he has improved so much, there's still a fair amount of ways to go for him to be a playoff caliber big. You know, it's a whole different ball game once you get to the playoffs. So, but for the regular season, and I think this team is great, and Chris Paul just – I don't know. How long is he going to be able to do this? I mean, where is he going to go next year and turn it around? That's sort of my question. Their opponent for tonight, the Dallas Mavericks. Are you buying? Are you selling? Are you holding what you got? Because, again, as you mentioned, they've not met expectations thus far this season. But there's good reasons for that. When you look at the health issues and you know, guys in and out of the lineup, missing three starters for as long as they did, I'm kind of surprised that they're even where they are. They should probably be better when you watch the game. So are you buying, selling, or holding on Dallas?
I'm selling. I bought so much stock in Dallas that led me down right now. And I don't know if it's the departure of Steph Curry. I don't know if it's injuries. I don't know. Luka Doncic, poor shooting. Things got to get better in Dallas, so I'm selling. I'm abandoning ship.
All right. Well, a team we didn't talk about, Memphis. They beat the Spurs tonight, 133-102. They've won seven straight games. They've just looked fantastic. Ja Morant had 13 and 8 in this game. What do you think about the Memphis Grizzlies? Are you buying their stock? I mean, they really have looked good. Even when Ja Morant was not with the team, they were looking great.
Well, I didn't buy any stock, but I'm buying now. I'm buying now. Absolutely. I'm not even going to lie to you and say, you know, that I can hold on to this stock. I didn't buy it early because I knew the West was tough. Obviously, I think I had Golden State as my preseason top in my top eight and had them on the outside looking in on an 8-9 maybe. But, yeah, I'm buying. They're playing really well.
I'm not selling any of my Memphis stock, and I'm also not selling any of my Keldon Johnson stock for the Spurs, by the way. That guy is going to be really, really good. He might already be really, really good, but I think he's going to get better. What about the Atlanta Hawks? Because I don't think that they could guard you and me in a pick and roll, right? Let's just be honest. They're going to win games by outscoring teams, but we saw tonight they can be guarded. And, you know, if you've got a good defense, you can shut them down. Now, they were missing DeAndre Hunter, and he's been fantastic for them. But, you know, I think there've got to be some concerns about having an offense that might be a little bit too one-dimensional, focusing so much on Trey.
I'm going to hold. Bought stock last year, kept my stock, and I'm going to continue to keep my stock. I think they're going to be all right in the Eastern Conference.
Do you like the stock? Is that what you're saying?
I like the stock. It has potential.
The Cleveland Cavaliers, they keep finding ways to win games. They're just under 500, now 10 and 11. Their defense has been fantastic. You know, we talked about Jared Allen and you know, the increased role he's likely to have, especially if Andre Drummond gets moved. But Colin Sexton has been fantastic. Darius Garland has been great. Isaac Okoro, I mean, just defensively kind of a monster. He and Jared Allen tonight just had some defensive synergy that you just don't expect out of guys that age, and in particular, guys that haven't played together that much. So are you buying, selling, or holding Cavalier stock?
I did not buy, but now I am buying. They're climbing up. So, yeah, I'm buying all the Cav stock.
They're pretty good, and you know what? They're really well coached, and I'm really happy for JB Bickerstaff getting a chance to actually make his mark with the team instead of just being, you know, an interim coach. He actually has a chance to build something here. I think he's done a fantastic job so far, and early on should be getting some Coach of the Year buzz whenever the Coach of the Year stuff starts, which I don't know when that happens, what, March or April, something like that this year, but he should definitely be on the list with what he's doing. Particularly because this team is so young. I mean, they're just incredibly young, and they're doing a lot of this not at full strength. Guys in and out of the lineup, obviously no Kevin Love, but they've been missing Larry Nance for a few games. They've just been really good, and they play hard every night, which gives themselves a chance to win. That's going to do it for today's show. Guys, don't forget about all the other shows we have over at The Athletic. We got The Athletic NBA show, No Dunks, The Athletic NFL show, The Athletic MLB show. Maybe coming soon. The Athletic NHL show. Go check out all of our pods. They're very good, and you get them ad-free with a subscription. Go to theathletic.com/dailyding and sign up. It's only $3.99. You know the drill here. It's all our fantastic writing and all the pods ad-free. So go to theathletic.com/dailyding now and sign up. Thank you guys, as always, for waking up with us. Trey, would you do the honors?
Ding, ding.